We're going to read the first few verses there, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah chapter 49, we're going to start with verse 1 and read down through verse 7 as we begin tonight. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 1, the Lord says, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people, from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hidden me, and made me a polished shaft. In the quiver hath he hidden me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore and to preserve the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nations abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, and princes shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee." Let's pray together. Lord, we love you and thank you for tonight. And Lord, we do pray for Molly tonight. And Lord, we thank you for her and for her sweet spirit and her faithfulness. And Lord, I know on nights like this that the weather and things, and it's just hard for her to get out. But Lord, we pray that you'd be especially near to her, the loss of her brother. And Lord, we pray that you would just give her a peace and contentment, knowing things are in your hands and your control. And I know that she would like to be there with family, but just can't travel. And so, Lord, we pray that you would be especially near to her. We pray that we'd be an encouragement to her in these days. Lord, as we come to your word, we pray that you would guide us and direct us. And as we look at it, that you would be pleased with how we read it and how we listen and how we apply it to our lives. Lord, we give you the praise for what you accomplish now in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled this, that Jesus Christ, light, strength, and security. Jesus Christ, light, strength, and security. We know that Isaiah is writing, and we saw in Isaiah chapter 6, the beginning of his writing, the year that King Uzziah died. And Isaiah continued on through a number of kings in the northern and southern kingdom. And we see that here, as he comes to Isaiah chapter 49, we see a call. In verse 1, it says, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar." A light in the darkness. In darkness, of course, and I don't know if you've ever been in a place where it's just pitch dark. There's no light around. Even here on the darkest night in the city, there's light. And we have to get away from the city. Our daughter and son-in-law down in Ontario left Port Perry, where they are. And Port Perry is kind of a rural area, but they were north this summer to a cottage on a lake up in the Kawarthas, north of Toronto. And she said it was incredible you get up that far north and away from the any city lights at all. How you see the light of the stars and the moon, how they just seem to pop out. And you see 10 or 20 or 100 times as many stars you could see. But he calls to Israel to listen in the darkness. When there's no light, when our eyes can't perceive things about us, we must navigate by hearing, listening. And so he calls Israel to listen. He calls Israel to listen and challenges them that they can listen to him, that they can trust in him. You understand there's a difference between hearing and listening? Sometimes we husbands are guilty of this. Maybe you're not. I know I am. Sometimes of hearing but not listening. And our wives talk. And we're right there. And our mind is a thousand miles away. And I see some husbands kind of smiling a bit. And then you have to be careful, men, because sometimes a quiz follows. But we have to not just hear the word of the Lord. I mean, we just read through these seven verses and rather lengthy verses here in Isaiah. Sometimes we're guilty of reading without listening or hearing without listening to what God said. He says, listen to me. What is the message we see here? We see here that the Lord called Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5 said, he called me from my mother's womb. In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant to bring Jacob again to him. That's actually in Isaiah chapter 49 verse 5. He called me. He named me. Again, we've talked about this name. We name what's important to us. He prepared for me. Robert Murray McShane. It's interesting enough. If you never read anything by Robert Murray McShane, you should read some of his stuff. It's a little bit deep. You got to kind of wade through it a little bit. He said something I found interesting. He said, it is not great talents God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus. It is not so much great talents God blesses as great likeness to Jesus. You know, a lot of folks have a lot of talents and abilities and skills. But unless they're directed by a likeness of Jesus Christ, they really are of little value. He went on to say in that statement, a holy minister is an awful weapon in the hand of God. A holy minister. It's not just talking about a preacher, but someone who serves. Minister means servant. But a holy servant of God is an awful weapon in the hand of God. I think that we have somehow in our generation gotten away from seriously considering the holiness of God. Seriously consider that God is holy. That sin offends God. The slightest of sin offends God. And God says, be ye holy as I am holy. We are to live holy lives. We sing the song, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing. But is it really our desire to be holy like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Let me challenge you just to read through. Start in Matthew. Just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. As you read through those four Gospels, consider what Jesus did, what he said, where he went, and consider, am I like that? Is my life conformed to the image of Christ? He prepared me, and then he commissioned me. Go over a couple pages to Isaiah chapter 61. Just a couple pages over there in your Bible. These are the verses when Christ was 30 years old, went to the synagogue there in his hometown, and they opened up the scriptures for him to read. And this was the scriptures that he read this day, and he said, this day is it fulfilled in your ears. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me. Notice to do what? To preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the open of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. He read that and said, this day is fulfilled in your ears. In other words, he says, I am the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 61. If we're going to be like Jesus Christ, if we're going to be a light in a dark world, then these are things certainly that should be evident in our lives. Notice the people that Jesus said he would deal with in Isaiah chapter 61. The meek in verse 1, the brokenhearted, the captives, the prisoners, to comfort those that mourn, to give beauty for ashes. We see that it's those that have great needs. I found, and I'm sure that you would agree, that people don't change much until there's a great need in their life. That people come to a place where things seem to be falling apart, where what they planned is not working, their resources are not sufficient, their health, maybe, I don't know what it might be. But it comes to that place and says, and they say, you know what? I can't deal with this by myself anymore. Had a couple just tell me that this morning. And I said, I praise the Lord that although you can't deal with it, there's a God that can help you to deal with that. You see, the Jewish nation was to be a light to the Gentiles. We know that the Jewish nation, the thought was, the kingdom would be established there, and the Jewish nation, by the blessings they see of God upon the nation, would draw the nations to it. And we see indeed that did happen at times. We saw the Queen of Sheba comes up from the south. Others come to see the glory of the kingdom, see what God has done. And we see that during that time, there are a great number of, we call Jewish proselytes, people from different ethics and different backgrounds and different nations who came to follow Jehovah God of Israel in that day. We see that today, the church is to be the light. The church is not today that to necessarily be, and we should be a lighthouse on the hill. I understand that. We should, by who we are in the church, and I'm not talking about this building, but I'm talking about us as individuals, we should, by our action, by our attitude, by the way we live, our love, our all those things, people should be drawn to us, and through being drawn to us, be drawn to Christ. But we also have the responsibility, certainly, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are to be that light. We are to take that light to the world. Look at Acts chapter 13. Go there in the New Testament a minute. Acts chapter 13 and verse 46. It says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you, but seeing, this is the Jews, but seeing they have put it off from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Verse 47, so the Lord commanded, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard that, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all that region. Matthew chapter 5, we know that part of the, we call it Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. He said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. When the children sing the song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. One of us ate it out, I'm going to let it shine. You see, we are to not only be a light as we gather together here in our services in this building on a regular basis, but we are to be a light to the community as we go out to our workplace, to our shopping place, to neighbors and family and friends. We are to be a light there to see, even as Mr. Murray, as Murray McShane said, that God blesses those who have a great likeness to Jesus. I wonder, on a scale of 1 to 10, 0 being no likeness to Jesus and 10 being perfect likeness to Jesus, I wonder where would we go on that scale? It's challenging, isn't it? If you would ask somebody that you work with on a regular basis, do you think I'm like Jesus? What would they answer? Now, maybe they don't even know what Jesus is like. We're to be a light. But understand, we're not the light. Jesus Christ said, I'm the light of the world. And Jesus Christ says that we are to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 6, so there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh in the world. We see that Jesus Christ is our light in the darkness. Jesus Christ said back in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 4, he says, I've labored in vain, I've spent my strength for naught, and yet surely my strength is with the Lord and my work with God. Christ's labors often seemed in vain. We know he went to his own town of Nazareth and they rejected him. So the scripture says he came out of his own and his own received him not. His community rejected him. Some of his family rejected him. His synagogue rejected him. The religious leaders of the time, the civil leaders, rejected him. But yet there was a small group. 11 men, a few women. The beginning. After the resurrection of Christ. And then we find that it's not long that up in the upper room, a couple hundred. And then the day of Pentecost came and thousands, and it began to multiply. Why was that? Why did the church of God multiply in those early years? Now, there were a lot of reasons for it. But one of the great reasons was that in those 11 apostles, in those women that followed Christ, they saw the likeness of Christ. And they said, that's something I need in my life. They saw light in a dark world. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 9, Isaiah is commissioned and said, and God says to him, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see indeed, but perceive not, but yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return. He didn't give Isaiah a great promise of thousands and hundreds of thousands responding, but he said, Isaiah, go and preach. A lot of people will not listen. A lot of people reject it. He says, but in it shall be a tenth. In it shall be a small portion that shall respond. And you know, in this day, unless God does some mighty work like the old Welsh revivals, we're going to see only the tenth. But you know what? I'd be happy with the tenth, wouldn't you? 218,000 people here in Greater St. John's, last number I heard. Would you be satisfied with a tenth, 21,000, 22,000? People who trust Christ as their Savior. We're having municipal elections here in a little bit, and that's a good thing. And I've talked to some those who are running in Mount Pearl a bit, but they're not going to change our life for the better. But salt and light changes our life for the better. Isaiah said, God is my light, but he also said, God is my strength. Look at verse 5. And now saith the Lord that formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel shall not be gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, for my God shall be my strength. The southern kingdom of Judah was restored after 70 years of captivity. The northern kingdom The 10 tribes went into captivity in 721 and never returned. Scattered, dispersed across the world. There are very few people who can identify back to any of those 10 tribes. But Isaiah said, the Lord is my strength. Moses said in Exodus 15, after they crossed the Red Sea, the Lord is my strength and my song and has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. David said in 2 Samuel 22:33, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. In Isaiah 12:2, the prophet Isaiah said, the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, familiar to you, he talked about the thorn in the flesh. God said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul responded, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You wonder, where do we find our strength today? Where do we find our ability to go throughout the day? The psalmist said, and throughout the Bible, it says, he Christians saying, the Lord is my strength. We have to understand last that God is always faithful. Thus saith the Lord, verse 7, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to whom man despiseth, to him who the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and our eyes and princes shall worship. Why? Because of the Lord that is faithful. And the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose. Because the Lord is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Paul writing as he finishes up that book, he says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord, touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to the patiently waiting for Christ. Those first couple of verses are a great pattern for us for praying for missionaries. We just talk about the hunters and then the littles and the Bartleys in St. Lucia. Notice what he says about the missionaries. Paul calls them. He says, pray for us. What? Pray for us what? That the word of the Lord might have free course. That God may, the word of the Lord may be glorified in verse 1. That they might be protected or delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Why? The Lord is always faithful. You know, if we use just those first two verses, 1 and 2, as a pattern to pray for our missionaries on a daily basis, I believe God would be pleased. God is faithful. You know, folks, tonight the world is walking in darkness. We should not be surprised that they stumble often, fall. So we see and hear on the news and hear politicians and all those things going on. We should not be surprised at what they do, why they're walking in darkness. But understand, we have the light of the gospel. We have the light, and we have a responsibility not just stand and say, this little light of mine, but to go to those individuals and say, you know what? I have the truth of the Word of God. I have the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know the way of salvation. He can give you light to your life today. We have a responsibility to go. You know, the Bible doesn't say wait for the world to come to you. It doesn't say wait for your neighbor, wait for your co-workers, wait. But he says go. Go and tell. Go and tell. God has given you everything you need to be a witness for him today in the place he has put you. And just think about that. Where has God put you? Who has God given you the opportunity to influence with the gospel of Jesus Christ? God has equipped you, or will equip you, with everything you need to take the gospel to those individuals that you come in contact with on a regular basis. God is always faithful. He will not fail you. We don't know how. That's where faith comes in, isn't it? Trusting God that as I step out, as I speak to someone about the Lord, as I hand them a tract, and maybe they reject it the first dozen times, God is always faithful. He says, my word will not return unto me void. The prophet here in Isaiah chapter 49 says that the Lord is his strength, his light. The Lord is his strength, and the Lord is always faithful. Can we understand that tonight? God is our light in a dark world. God will give us strength in our weakest moments. And God is always faithful. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please?